All right, in your Bibles this morning, we'll be in the book of Ezra, one of my favorite books. The book of Ezra, chapter 8, we're just going to read verse 21 through verse 23. I've titled the message, Besought Our God. For obvious reasons, after we read the text. Ezra chapter 8, starting in verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek him a right way for us, and for our little ones, and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way. Now that's very interesting in light of I wrote this message before the things that transpired in the past week, but said he was ashamed that he had to seek the king to get a help for the way the fix they were in. He said, because we'd spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated for us. I'd like to, got a few things here. Actually, at the end of the message, I have a couple pages of notes, but I want to preface this message. You teach children, or even adults for that matter. You know how you teach them? By not teaching them. Now you have to give that some thought. By not telling them. I know a lot of, I've got grandchildren, and they don't tell children things. They're people that don't take children to funerals. They don't, and you, by not telling, you're teaching. And there were things that I was taught as a child that would be so politically incorrect today. You know what I remember? I remember those things. That's what I remember. They were ingrained. And these things that I'm speaking of, they're not even spoken of today. We'll see some of that. I would that we would know God, as in the days of old, as in the days of Ezra, that we would seek him. You know, modern religion finds God as one might find a treasure, trinket, or a precious stone, maybe something of value in it. And it takes that thing of value and it puts it on a shelf, and but claiming, oh, I have it. This is what I've got, see? Because when I talk to people about God, they always tell me what they've got. They tell me of some experience or just like if they had something on a shelf. And so what happens is religion, our religion and religion day has become pretty much passive. But do we not? We're the only religion on the planet. We serve a living God. A God who lives, not only lives, but lives in us. Lives through us. Said, I'll leave you the comforter, I'll leave you the Holy Ghost, I won't leave you alone. And says, you can't even pray without him. But if I were to ask this morning, give me an example of the Holy Ghost in your life this week, you see. Well, it's up on the shelf, there it is. How may one have a Christ whose very tears became his blood, and yet exercise a dry religion? How can that be? No tears. You know the shortest verse in the Bible? The most concise verse in the Word of God? Everybody should know one Bible verse. John 11:35. Two words. You remember? Jesus wept. But we have a dry religion. How may one with this same Jesus not weep? Ever read of, I just give a few examples of the way that tears are mentioned in the book of Psalms. The psalmist said, my tears have been my meat day and night. Well, I don't see that. All the night I make my bed to swim. His tears were so great. And I water my couch with my tears. The psalmist said, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? We're going to have a short place in the book if it's filled with the tears in our bottle. Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in what? Joy. And perhaps that's why we've very little joy in our midst. Let me ask, have you ever sought God with bitter tears? How long has it been, if ever? I find people confess the Lord and they've never swam in their tears. You see, I find only bitter tears in repentance, the act of repentance. And I find no salvation, no conversion without either. There are two ingredients to those things. And one is tears. Repentance and tears. Tears and repentance. Now there are those that have shed bitter tears that found neither. That found him not. But I can say with the surety that all that find him must be broken such. It's the end of our own way. When a man comes to the end of his way, the tears must flow. And such can only come with great sorrow. Oh, how well I remember. We recently had a family that left our midst, and he said he never felt part of the body. Can I place one in the body? I didn't place anything in this one. But you see, that's the way of the modern church. It's the way of modern society, modern business. We place what doesn't rightly belong there. That's the way of the modern marriage. And they just declare all one. They make people what they are not. But it isn't so. If you look at there in the book of Ezra, chapter 4. Ezra chapter 4, the first two verses. The Bible says, now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, they'd been in captivity over 3 decades in Babylon. And King Cyrus sent them back, told them they could build the temple by an act of God back in Jerusalem. They came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, you see these people of the land there, you see it? They came to them and said, let us build with you. Oh, wow, isn't that great? They want to help us build this temple of God. Let us build it, for we seek your God. We want your God. We seek your God. We want to help you in this ministry, you see, as ye do. And we do sacrifice unto him. Listen, we sacrifice, we pray every day unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. Isn't that wonderful, you see? These today would not only be welcome, but they'd probably be given position in the church, position in the body. Oh, look, at least they want to come join us. They want to help us. They want to help us with this ministry, you see. But look at verse 3. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said to them, now look, you have nothing to do with us. Whoa. You have nothing to do with us. Why, those mean-spirited Jews. You have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. You see that? Now you compare that with the so-called inclusive gospel preached today. You say, well, wow, it's nothing like that. No, it's nothing like that. Not at all. You see, I find no inclusion between heaven and hell, between dark and light. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 4, and God saw the light, do you remember? That it was good. And do you know what he did? The very first, I was telling Dennis, this is, you want the gospel in one verse? You know what he did when he saw the light was good? He divided. The fourth verse of the Bible of God. He saw the light was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. The whole gospel. The whole way of the Bible in one verse. Good Bible. Y'all know what a good Bible, some of you know. The three I see in front of me are all good Bibles. Good Bible. I call them good Bibles. Gave George a good Bible. Maybe he's looking at it now. And if you go to Ezra chapter 9 in the good, what I call the good Bible, it's one of the best chain of reference note Bibles that I don't think there'll ever be another one printed like it. And you go to page 631 in the good Bible in the Old Testament. Ezra, the top of Ezra chapter 9. If you don't have a good Bible, I won't say this. But look at the note at the top of the page. Y'all see that? Now you think about this. This is the note at the top of the page. And this was printed in the 20th century. Mingling of races condemned. You find me a Bible printed today that's got that note in it. Mingling of races condemned. They wouldn't even allow it, you see. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. Turn back to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7, the first six verses. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites, you better watch them ites, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites, I said you better watch them ites, and the Hivites and the Jebusites, you better watch them ites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. They didn't. You know who they have trouble with today, 6,000 years later? 4,000 years later, sorry. Ites. Them ites causing problems. You see. And utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make, listen, marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they'll turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Did I tell you about the note at the top of Ezra? Mingling of races condemned. Has he chosen you such? Are you a holy people? You see? I said, this is a good Bible. Today they cry, oh, preacher, had a fellow tell me yesterday, he called me. He said, oh, man, you are so Old Testament. I said, I never preach anything in the Old Testament. I don't give a New Testament reference. Okay? Just to, you know, just to keep you Bible criticizers honest. Go to the book of 2 Corinthians. That's New Testament, folks. Still in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 13. Now for recompense in the same. Now Paul said, I speak as unto my children. My children, be ye also enlarged. And then he gives them an edict. He gives them a charge to his children. Some of you are raising children. He said, they don't teach this. I was told this from the earliest age. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Can't we all just be one? Hold hands, drink Coca-Cola, and sing Kumbaya. I said, when he saw the light was good, he divided the light from the darkness. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? How are you going to mix God with the devil? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Now this, for ye, you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I'll dwell in them and walk in them. I'll be their God. And they shall be my people. They shall be my people. Not them, they. Wherefore, come out from among them. See? Come out from among them. I told a fellow yesterday on the telephone, I said, how are you going to come out from what you don't know? You've got to know the difference between us and them. And he said, and be ye separate. And he saw the light was good, and he divided the light from the darkness. Saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's gospel. I said, God divided the light from the darkness. Now, if you go back to the book of Ezra, Ezra chapter 9, first two verses. Now, when these things were done, the princes came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites, we just read New Testament, have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the, better watch Emites, Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Ammonites, Moabites, Egyptians, and Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the, look, excuse me, for that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. I said, the holy seed hath mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass. Small thing? Why, today it is. Why, they give the sons and daughters like means nothing. They take more care, I've preached many, many times, in the breeding of their registered animals than their human offsprings. And then you get to verse 3. Ezra, small thing. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment. I told you last week, rending a garment's a huge deal. They didn't have many, if any. And my mantle, and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard, and sat down astonished. He was astonished. And this all leads us back to our text. We have a New Testament version of this in Matthew. Turn to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Remember in our text, we're just like you. We serve your God. We want to help you build. We want to help you in this, see? But you go to Matthew 7, 21, and Jesus Christ himself looked these people in the face and he said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Oh, they'll enter into the First Baptist Church, but not the kingdom of heaven. "But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Do you see? These all very religious people from all walks and denominations. As the apostles told Christ, when you read these things, this is a hard saying. Who then can be saved? You see? But Jesus was very, very specific. He was never vague or general. God's never been vague or general. Jesus said in John 3:3, he said, "Born again, you must be born again." Well, I'm not, well, you must be born, that's why you must be born again. It's not simply some religious act or ceremony declared by man. That's like stealing your neighbor's child and declaring, "See, I've got a son." No, it belongs to him. You know, or the two harlots, they ate one of the babies, and then, that's my baby, you know. You see? "See, I'm just like you. I've done many wonderful works. He's my Lord. I'd sacrifice, and except you haven't. That's not you." And that's what happened when Cain was born. If you remember in the book of Genesis, in chapter 4, Eve, she had a boy. And Eve said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." Y'all remember? Eve said, "I've gotten a man," except the Bible says in 1 John 3:12, "not as Cain, who was of that wicked one." Last time I looked, the Lord was not that wicked one. I've had arguments with deacons and preachers over the years. "Oh, no. Well, Cain was..." No, I said, "No, he was of the wicked one. He didn't come from the Lord." And we're told later that Adam, later Genesis 5, that Adam had children in his likeness. But those are other sermons for other days. You might look again in Matthew, over in the book of Matthew chapter 13 quickly, if you... Just for reference, 13 and 38, Jesus was explaining the parable of the wheat and the tares, and he looked at the pie, and they said, "Well, tell us what this is." And he said, "Well, you see, boys, the field is the world. The good," there's that word "good." And he saw the light was good, and what'd he do? He divided. "The good seed are the children of the kingdom." The good seed. "But the tares are the children of the wicked one." There's no amount of love God preaching can change this. There's no amount of political correctness that can change this. Just as there are those that God hates. You see, when one learns these two basic tenets, one, that there are children of the kingdom, and two, that there's children of the wicked one. You see? I'm sorry. One, that there are children of the kingdom and children of the wicked one. And two, that there's those that God loves and those that God hates, which are synonymous. He hates the children of the wicked one. He loves the children of the kingdom. You know, if a natural man will be honest, he's the same way. I've been accused of, all you ever preach is hate. That's because all everybody else preaches is love. But hate's an attribute of God. What about that attribute? Is love better than hate? Uh-oh. Well, wait a minute. I'm asking you, is love better than hate? Hate's an attribute of God. He hates those. He hates workers of iniquity. He hated Esau. It's better if you're the loved. You see, then and only then. Now listen. You're getting a message this morning very few people will ever get. Ever even really get an opportunity to hear. Unless they read the Word of God. Have a good Bible. Then and only then does the gospel message and the entire book open up and come to life. When you know that God what separated. It's the theme of the whole book. God separated. And then and only then does grace become grace. And the tears can fall. Because the difference is so profound. Thank God for adoption. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. John 3:8, the method that God chose for this new birth and new creature. The wind bloweth where it listeth, now hearest the sound thereof, and know not whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone's born of the Spirit. That's the gospel. The fact that so many claim the lineage, and yet they lack the pedigree. You see, I'm registered. Y'all know that? I'm registered. I am. I pray you are too. I'm written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm registered. I'd show you the papers, but you'd not be able to read them, as the young blind dumb and deaf boy said. He said, you can't see all the bad things I did because they're covered in blood. Amen. 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 And God gave me that word, and then I throughout this past week, I've added a couple notes. You might say this is a postscript. I'd just like to read them to you quickly. The elect, or rather the saved, may be forgiven. Whereas the damned, now listen, the damned may never be forgiven. Did you ever think about that? You know, when you consider Genesis 1:4, saw the light was good and he divided from the damned may never be forgiven. Were they forgiven? Why, they wouldn't be damned. The best definition of grace for me is forgiven. I'm forgiven. God forgave me. And these people, these universes say, well, he forgave everybody. If he did, they wouldn't be in hell. You mean there's a forgiven man in hell? Are you guilty? A goat shall never be saved, ever. You get that and you'll be ahead of 99% of all that profess or that are in church today. A goat shall never be saved. A tear. The separation of light from darkness is the gospel in one verse. One verse. On the day that the Lord divided the light from the darkness, he created separation. Segregation is of God. And if you don't believe that, you've never read the Word of God from end to amen. Ezra sat astonished when he heard God's people had not separated themselves from the people of the lands. How's that thing worked in America? Hadn't that been wonderful? Heard a man say this morning that in the 1940s that the blacks were more moral and had a better illegitimacy rate than whites. Want to know what it is today? In the New Testament, Peter told Simon of Samaria, you remember? He said, "Thou, boy, you have neither part nor lot in this matter concerning salvation." The New Testament tells us not to be yoked with unbelievers. We read it. To come out from among them and what? Be separate. And that back in the book of Ezra, chapter 5 and verse 6, these are two glorious, glorious verses. Remember the title? Besought our God. "And at the evening sacrifice I arose up from my heaviness. And having rent my garment, my mantle, I fell upon my knees, and I spread out my hands unto the Lord my God." Excuse me. "And said, Oh my God, I'm ashamed. And blush to lift up my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses grown up under the heavens." One of the greatest acts of contrition and repentance in all the Word of God. Right there. Two verses. Ezra chapter 9, verse 5 and 6. If we'd be honest, such has never been found in our midst. Oh, we'll be sorry for earthly calamities, maybe a loss of a child or a loved one, etc., or disease or accident, but not over sin. And not only our sin, the sin of the brethren. In truth, we take our iniquities and we neutralize them by our natural finite minds. You said you'll be as gods. Well, I'm as God, so they're okay. It's okay that I'm divorced. It's okay that I sleep with this woman. It's okay that I got drunk. It's okay. Little G God. When we read these first six verses of Ezra chapter 9, it's surreal to imagine such contrition today. And it wasn't even Ezra who'd sinned against God. It was the brethren. The great sin, they had married heathens outside their race. Today, they'd be made preachers and deacons. Hey, listen, we serve your God every day. Well, we love God, Lord, Lord. We want to help you build this ministry. Look at our offering. We got money. See our shekels? They'd be made preachers and deacons. There's a little mentioned verse of scripture that's of great consequence. The old preacher told it to me years ago. It didn't mean as much then, but it's magnified into a billboard today, or larger. Amos 3:3. "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" God said, yeah, can two walk together? Except they be agreed. That's the only way. Is God mocked? America is now in direct contrast to this verse. We're wondering why. You want to know why all this is happening? You want to tell somebody today? Somebody's going to ask you today or tomorrow this week. Because, sir, ma'am, we're trying to walk together with people that do not agree with us. And they say, well, I agree with them. Well, sir, then you can't walk with me. Can two walk together except to be agreed? But we keep marrying and mixing. Bible says in the book of Acts that God appointed the bounds of men's habitation. You go to the book of Deuteronomy and he divides. He divides it all up, period. The great mathematician God is. This came to me this morning that I love numerology. I say, oh, you believe in that? I absolutely. I believe God above all else is a mathematician in things that we know of. Now you think about this. Everything in your life, not only in your life, but for sure everything in the Word of God either divides, it's division, multiplies, adds, or subtracts. The four tenets. Divide, multiply, add, subtract. The whole Bible, from end to amen. Your life, your business. Everything about your life, your business. I might ask and close with it, where do you fall in his equation? How do you add up? I can tell you that if you've not besought our God, I've got a message, maybe I'll get to preach it next week. I don't know, I've had it for weeks and really wanted to preach it. I have come to the conclusion that only those that seek God will be in heaven. But we besought our God. You can do it, especially if you've got a good Bible. He said, come out. He saw the light was good and he separated. He said, come out. And seek the Lord.